Thank you for listening to the Fail-Safe Moment. Grab a cup of coffee and let's join Rob Statham for another informative discussion helping people learn from things that go wrong.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Rob Statham. I'll be your host for this week's Fail-Safe Moment. We've been going through the first chapter of a book titled What You Can Learn from Things That Go Wrong. It was written by C. Robert Nelms. He's also the founder of Failsafe Network. And we help people learn from things that go wrong. And Failsafe was founded in 1985. And this is our 40th anniversary of being in business. There's been quite a few ups and downs, quite a few challenges, and quite a few victories and epiphanies, and we are trying to celebrate, look back over our 40 years and celebrate our 40th anniversary. Bob Nelms is going to be inducted into the Community of Human and Organizational Learning's Hall of Fame, quite an honor, and deservedly so. We tip our hat to them. That'll be coming up in June at colearning.org's Impact Conference. Catch that. You can stream it or you can be there live. If you're there live, come by our table. I'd love to meet you, talk to you, mention this. I'd gladly give you a copy of this book, What You Can Learn from Things That Go Wrong. We're going into the 20th printing. There's so much history that's been captured in this. Some things have certainly changed over time, but understanding where we've come from and the history of it is truly fascinating. Well, this week I was going to finish chapter one. We've talked about the name of the chapter is Failure Is Not What You Think It Is. And we've talked about the secret to success, and Bob mentioned addressing people's mindsets on the way they look at failure, and how you have to think of it literally is like you're planting a seed, and that it will take root, and how critically important it is to learn to anticipate failure, not just react to it. And how to address the underlying causes of failure. We'll finish chapter one today talking about the heading he has here is the unavoidable philosophical tint, the filter, and then the issue of blame. So I'm going to go ahead and continue to read out of What You Can Learn from Things That Go Wrong. Near the end of chapter one, we have about a third of the chapter left, and I should be able to finish that today. I'll start off. The heading here is An Unavoidable Philosophical Tint. Most of the business people I deal with have little time for philosophical discussions. They need practical solutions to today's problems. And I'm the same way. The problem is in our respective definitions of practical. I have learned that truth, a very philosophical sounding word, is ultimately very practical. There's nothing can be more practical than to deal with and apply truth. The deception in many people's minds is that truth is not practical, that practical and truth are two different opposing things. Root cause discovery, more than any other business-related activity, will force you to look right into the eyes of truth. It is quite literally unavoidable. You will have to search the deepest levels of your understanding to find answers to why things go wrong. You'll recognize the absolute necessity of addressing the true root causes of failure once you find them. Does this sound deep? I hope it does, because it is. Does it sound practical? I hope so, because it's ultimately practical. Does it sound dangerous? I hope not, because truth is not dangerous. Only lies are dangerous. Most of us, myself included, much of the time are living in a world controlled by the wrong rules. It's not that anyone has intentionally generated these lies. They sort of just drifted in to society over a long period of time. You'll see how to define these wrong rules quite plainly in the following chapter. And you won't have to make value judgments in order to see these wrong rules. An American Indian, Eskimo, Christian, Buddhist, Muslim, or any other human being will all see the same thing when they look precisely at failure. That's the beauty of failure. It speaks to all of us in the same voice. This is not to be considered a religious book, yet it cannot help but have that tint to it. How can it not? Religion's all about truth. Interestingly, at least to me, is that my religion did not teach me what you are about to read. Living did. Failure did. Pain did. Thinking did. Praying did. And reading did. And revelation did. But mainly, the source of the ideas of this book came directly from my confrontation with failure. Failures led me to all I really know. Fan through the pages of this book and notice the level of detail in the pages. I'm not pointing this out to boast, but rather to emphasize just because something's based on truth doesn't mean it has no substance. In fact, truth should be ultimately substantive. I've provided as much detail as possible to help you see what I see about failure. The filter. Speaking of seeing, we all see the world through a very personal filter. Each person reading these words is filtering them through the years of stimuli and conditioning they've received. Each of you is actually hearing something different than I've intended. In fact, I'm the only person who fully understands these words. Many people are writing about this filtering phenomena these days. It makes me wonder what's going on. I thought I had some original thoughts in this area until I read Stephen Covey's book on the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People and Joel Barker's book on paradigms. I ran across those books by chance, but I'm guessing lots of other people are talking about filters these days. The existence of the filter can really be a problem, especially in the written word. I have no way of knowing if my intended meaning is coming across. In a seminar, I can see your faces and I observe your body language. We can ask each other questions, but here, in text form, it's a real problem. What does this have to do with failure? Well, everything. The real root causes of all failure, of everything that goes wrong, exists within our filters. Either one person or several people, or a whole society or the whole world can be looking at a given situation inappropriately. When people have inappropriate things in their filters, they cause failure. Every failure in a manufacturing plant can be traced to an inadequacy in someone's filter. Every failure. In order to understand why things go wrong, we must understand the filtering process. In this respect, an entire chapter has been devoted to the subject of the filtering process. Although it complements what others have written, it's uniquely structured to meet the specific needs of a root cause investigator. The issue of blame. Finally, you might be thinking, if all failure can be traced to someone's filter, it sounds like you're going to eventually start blaming people. After all, the filter's a very personal thing. But we cannot blame people when things go wrong, not if we want to learn. In fact, when we blame one another for our failures, just the opposite happens. We cannot learn. Blame causes failure to become truly ugly, useless, it degrading. Admittedly, however, this issue is a real dilemma. Here are some of the factors. When something goes wrong and we find out who did it, we often feel like we should nail the culprit. We feel like we never would have done the same thing. And with the information most of us have, it's no wonder we feel this way. Most of us will not try to understand why the person did what he did. Therefore, it often appears that the culprit did something he knew he ought not have done. Whenever someone does something he knows he ought not do, it seems like he should be subject to blame, discipline, or punishment. But there are two problems with this. Firstly, none of us, absolutely none of us, can really know what went on in another person's mind. We can guess, but we will never know if the person did something he knew he should not have done. And since it's far easier to make quick judgments about people than to try to understand why they did what they did, most of us take the easy way out, never give it a second thought, and nail the person at fault. Secondly, let's suppose for a minute that someone truly did do something he knew he should not have done. Even in that case, I'm not sure if blame, discipline, and punishment are the answer. I'm sure you're wondering why. Well, because we all do things we know we shouldn't do. It's part of being a human being. We were born like that. It's sort of like breathing. It's just that most of the time, we get away with it. It makes little sense, at least to me, to blame and punish people for doing something we all do, unless we blame ourselves along with the culprit. No one does something wrong without cause. There is always a cause. Many of the culprits we blame for failure have no choice. They do the wrong thing because they literally do not know any better. They think they're doing the right thing. How can any rational person conceive of blaming and punishing people who do not know they've done wrong? In fact, consider the message we're sending when we punish someone for doing what they thought was right. But then there are people who decide to ignore their conscience and do what they ought not do. But those who do this, actually, we all do this, are being influenced by some outside negative factors. There is always a reason why people override their conscience. Always. Some people can subdue the negative influences in their lives some of the time and do what's right in spite of their surroundings. But most of us, honestly, are too weak to continuously subdue those factors influencing us to do wrong. As concerned, influential business people, we must identify those factors which sway our organizations toward doing what we ought not do. These Latent factors are among the most serious root causes of all failure. Well, I hope I've generated enough interest in this first chapter to keep you turning the pages. There is so much more to discuss. And that concludes chapter one. Failure is not what you think it is, from what you can learn from things that go wrong, written by C. Robert Nelms. I appreciate you tuning in this week to Failsafe Moments, as I was able to share with you an excerpt from what you can learn from things that go wrong. We're celebrating the 40th anniversary of Failsafe Network this year. It was founded in 1985. Feel free to share any comments or questions, things you'd like us to discuss in the future. We'd love to hear from you. Until next week, you have a safe week. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Failsafe Moment. We'd love to hear from you. Share your comments and questions below or contact us through our website, www.failsafe-network.com. Once again, that's www.failsafe-network.com. Until next time, have a great day.